Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome General Manager Jared Spataro.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Las Vegas, and welcome to SharePoint Conference 2014. We have an awesome week ahead, and we are thrilled that you took the time to join us today. Thank you for joining our keynote session today, and a very special thank you to our keynote sponsor, AgilePoint. AgilePoint specializes, there they are, in business process management solutions, and they've been a SharePoint partner since 2003. So throughout the day, remember AgilePoint, the power of smart process. As we kick off our conference today, we have over 10,000 people from 85 countries joining us here in Vegas, a tremendous crowd, and we welcome all of you. We also welcome several thousand more who are joining us online via webcast. SharePoint Conference, of course, is a great time to get the community together and to take stock on how things are going. And I'm pleased to announce that the SharePoint business continues to grow at an incredible pace. I've been on the business for a long time. I never cease to be amazed that a business this size can continue to see strong double-digit revenue growth year over year. What's more, over the last 12 months, we've seen a whopping 500% increase in SharePoint Online active users. And we're very excited about the momentum of the cloud. Now, historically, many of you know SharePoint has been an on-prem business. But today, SharePoint plays a key role in Office 365, a cloud service that is now a $1.5 billion business for Microsoft. Office 365 growth has been literally explosive, with 60% of the Fortune 500 adopting it in the last 12 months. And it is now officially the fastest growing commercial product in Microsoft's history, a title that SharePoint used to hold. That's what happens when you have an online service that posts 18 consecutive quarters of year-over-year triple-digit growth. 18 consecutive quarters. Now, the cloud is on fire, if that's possible. And you're going to hear a lot more about Office 365 and the cloud in our keynote today. Our keynote theme this morning is transformation. Technology is transforming the world. It's literally reshaping the way all of us live and work. But things are happening so fast, and change has become such an integral part of our lives that sometimes I fear that we don't take a moment to look at what's happening around us. We seem to have been swept up by a torrent of innovation. And at this point, many of us don't even remember what it feels like to navigate in calmer waters. So for the next 2 hours, we want all of us here, all of you, to stop, to listen, and to consider. We want you to think about how technology has changed things and how technology will change all of our lives and work in the years to come. We've invited a very special guest speaker to help us out and to tackle tremendous issues, big issues with global significance. We're going to ask questions like, are we making the world a better place? Are we using technology to make the lives of those around us better? But we're also, in today's keynote, going to challenge you. We're going to challenge you to question your assumptions about the way people get their work done, about the relationship between business and technology, and of course, about the viability of the cloud. We're going to push you to think about your organization, about these changes, and what your organization is going to need to do in order to survive and thrive in an increasingly volatile and competitive environment. As we take this journey together, we ask you to make it personal. We want you to project into the future, to visualize what will happen, and then to think about how all of these changes will affect you, your work, your company.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Jared Spataro.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. President Clinton talked about some important themes, just a few that I noted. The power of technology for both good and bad, our interdependence, the importance of a shared sense of community, and the power when government, the private sector, and nonprofit foundations come together. I particularly liked his examples, whether it was the example of banking over cell phones in Haiti, of what happened in Sri Lanka when phones helped people understand how markets worked, or even how cell phones and the internet had revolutionized the way that we could help each other. For me, it taught me an important truth, that the little things add up, and by small and simple means are great things brought to pass. I particularly liked when President Clinton left us by saying, "You know, and the burden of knowledge is responsibility." During his remarks, I hope that you were inspired by his optimism. And as we finish our keynote today, I hope that you're motivated. Motivated both by what he said and clearly by what he does to go and make the world a better place. Now, the thread that binds all of us in the room here today is technology. While we don't know exactly what the future will hold, we share an optimism, a belief that technology can make the world a better place, that it can be a powerful force for good. And at the last SharePoint conference, we talked about four technology trends that are changing the way people work, the way they get stuff done. Cloud, social, mobile, and big data. Now, I'm pleased to announce that all four of these technology trends, of course, are alive and well. They are changing the way people get things done. And with them, they bring challenges and opportunities. For example, think about the impact that consumer social and mobile technologies have had on our lives. Today, we build relationships with our family and friends on Facebook. We connect with others on Skype. We learn breaking news from halfway across the world on Twitter, and many of us find our next job on LinkedIn. But these experiences, these fantastic experiences and the apps and services that deliver them haven't consistently found their way into the workplace. Or consider the challenges with big data and information overload. The volume of information continues to grow exponentially, but alas, human capacity really hasn't changed that much. And if you're like me, you can sometimes find yourself feeling data rich, but very knowledge poor. And finally, man, think about how hard it is for our companies, the places we work, to keep up with all of this. Not only do they need to deliver the latest and greatest so that we can be competitive, but they also have to think very seriously about privacy, security, and compliance. So this year at SharePoint Conference, we want to do more than just talk about these technology trends. We want to show you what we're doing with the trends, how we're harnessing these very, very powerful forces to transform the way we work. The innovations that you're going to see from us here today, and in fact, over the next few years, are based on four core beliefs. First, we believe that the future of work is all about working like a network. We believe that the same types of consumer experiences that we have in our personal lives should be in the workplace to help us build relationships, share information, and respond to ever-changing conditions. And we believe that all of this must be based on an openness and transparency that truly will change the way we work with other people. Second, we believe in the power of an open, we believe in personalized and proactive insights, and we believe that this is necessary to cut through the noise. Humans have this remarkable ability to accomplish, but only if we can focus. And we think that technology has a role to play to give us personalized insights so that we can focus on the most important things, on accomplishing big things that will change the world. Third, we believe in the power of an open development platform and a robust ecosystem. We recognize that one size doesn't fit all, that companies need customized solutions and that they have to tap into the creativity and inspiration of their best and brightest, and that many of these solutions need to be delivered quickly and agilely in weeks and not years. And finally, we believe that the future of work is only possible when people are empowered to do their work anywhere and on any device, and when businesses have the tools that they need to manage security and compliance. If you can't tell, we are incredibly excited to be here with you today and to partner with you to transform work and to tell you more about how we're taking these core beliefs and translating them into exciting new innovations. I am very pleased to introduce our next speaker. Many of you know Jeff Tepper because of his long history on SharePoint. And since we last met here at SharePoint Conference, Jeff has taken on an expanded role. Today, he leads not only SharePoint, but also Exchange and Office 365. Now, as a team, we have been very busy over the last 18 months, and we have some awesome things to show you. So without further ado, please join me in a very warm welcome for Mr. Jeff Tepper.
Thank you, Jared. And thanks to all of you for not only coming to the SharePoint conference, but all your support of SharePoint over the years. We are incredibly excited to be here with you today. The engineering team around the world is fired up. We love to come to the SharePoint conference to hear what you're doing with the product and how it's helping you personally and your organizations be more successful. We love sharing our product roadmap, and you'll see a lot of that today, and getting your feedback. You know, I have to say, there's a lot of fun parts of my job, but my favorite part is this event where for a couple of months before, I'm installing the new daily build of what we're gonna show and thinking about how you're gonna react to it and how do we talk about it. That's too complicated, that's too simple. People are gonna ask about this in the blog, I better address that. And it's really, we really all get charged up. It used to be in the old days of SharePoint, what I do is kick off an install of the daily build and then a crawl of the Microsoft intranet, run down to the cafeteria, come back after lunch, and then play with it. Now, with it all running in Office 365, I hit F5 and I've got the whole environment right there. So with any event, we've got a ton of stuff to show. I am really, really excited. We're gonna be pretty bold. President Clinton talked about the future. Jared talked about the future of work. We are gonna talk about the future of SharePoint and in fact, all of Office. So let's talk about that transformation of Office. The key concept that we've tried to get across is this idea of embracing the trends and beliefs that Jared talked about. Cloud, social, mobile, big data, and the four fundamental beliefs. And we've stepped back and thought, how can we not just host SharePoint in the cloud and improve SharePoint on premises, but how can we really transform the user experience and how people work every day in their job to make them more effective? And I really want to emphasize the cloud. The cloud is the key. Why? Because it lets us deliver more value to you, more value faster, so you can focus on pushing your business forward. And in fact, in the last year plus since the SharePoint conference last time, we've delivered over 75 new features in the cloud through SharePoint, through Office 365, and that's more than one a week. And today we are going to announce accelerating the adoption and deployment cadence of new capabilities in Office 365. That velocity is increasing. So we really want you all to think about today as an inflection point. Phase one of Office 365 was really about hosting SharePoint, hosting Exchange, hosting Link, and our proposition to you is economic. Let us host it to you for you because we'll do it more cost effectively. Today, it's about transforming the experiences in SharePoint, in Exchange, connecting Yammer across the suite, all of Office 365. What can we do in the cloud, leveraging big data and social and mobile, that will help transform work? And the whole time we're doing it, we're focused on moving your business forward. What are the benefits for users? What are the benefits for developers? What are the benefits for IT professionals? For end users, as Jared talked about, we want to help you work more openly, to work like a network so your organization is more responsive and you make better decisions. For the developers, we want you to build amazing new applications, amazing new services, whether you're inside your organization, trying to help your organization be more agile, or when you're in our partner ecosystem and you are trying to make a lot more money growing your business, leveraging these new technologies on the top of the Microsoft Foundation. And last but not least, in fact, probably most importantly, because you're such a fundamental enabler of technology being applied to business, the work we're doing for IT professionals, giving you the capabilities you need to protect your company's critical information so that you can turn around and empower your users and developers to move the company forward. All three groups are incredibly critical to us in SharePoint, and we're going to talk about them this morning. So let's next start with the new user experiences. We've got some great stuff to show. We're going to show it in three areas. First, we're going to talk about the social workplace. Second, we're going to talk about new personalized insights. And third, we're going to talk about the work we're doing in next generation portals. We stepped back again across all these three areas about 12 months ago and thought about how we could change how organizations work in this idea we call the social workplace. You know, Jared talked about working like a network, and that's something we've always done in SharePoint. Everybody here knows one of the biggest innovations in SharePoint was tying across personal sites and team sites and portal sites. We also pioneered unified communications across Exchange, Link, Outlook, of course. And then our acquisition of Yammer a couple years ago was really exciting, not only because it gave us a wonderful service to deliver more broadly to you, but Yammer changed our thinking about how people, just by the work they're doing, could accrue value to the company through this network. And so 12 months ago, we stepped back and thought, how could we break down these silos and create a social experience that would really transcend Office such that you could accrue the benefits, the value, the responsiveness of a network just by doing the work naturally in your organization? So that's the first concept we're going to get across, the idea of the social workplace. And you'll see that in the demo in a little bit. The next area is personalized insights. Jared talked about this overload problem. I have to tell you, having worked on SharePoint from the beginning, now having responsibility for Exchange, I feel personally committed to fixing the overload problem in enterprises. There's really no more problem that I'm more passionate about. And I think we've cracked the code on some really key ideas there. What we've done is really take a leap beyond what you see in enterprise search. We've got the best enterprise search in the world with the fast technology, but it's reactive. You go do searching as opposed to the system helping you. By leveraging big data, machine learning, and all the things going on in the social fabric, the software can be smarter and deliver this intelligent, proactive, personalized experience. Show what's important to you in the context of your doing work. This is a really powerful idea. Today we're going to show two things. First, the underlying substrate, the Office graph. We're going to introduce that this morning. The idea that across SharePoint, Exchange, Yammer, custom applications, we are learning, we are building relationships securely and privately to connect things to deliver a more relevant experience for end users. This Office graph is a big idea, perhaps the biggest idea we've had since the very beginning of SharePoint. And that's going to power an incredible variety of experiences in SharePoint and Yammer, Exchange, really across Office. Today we're going to focus on one of those experiences, a new hero experience that's codenamed Oslo that will give you an immersive experience. There must be the development team is not supposed to clap because of the, anyway. My feature, he mentioned my feature. Otherwise, we'd be here all day. So anyway, this Oslo experience is, you'll see it, it's better to show it than talk about, really gives you an immersive way to navigate information. And I don't think anybody else in the industry has done what we've done. So we're really excited that it didn't leak, and you're all going to be surprised in a few minutes. The last of the three areas, besides social workplace, personalized insights, in driving the user experience forward, is this concept called next generation portals. We know from all of you, because we've come to these events and the SharePoint Saturdays and the user groups and so forth, and you tell us SharePoint is more than just documents and discussions. It's sites, it's apps, it's blogs and wikis and dashboards and scorecards and workflow systems and so forth. And for lack of a better term, we slap the name portal very broadly across that. And you've all done amazing work, and you'll see it at this event showcased by customers and partners on SharePoint 2013, building very rich dynamic portals. But we think we can help you more with next generation portals. These portals should be more out of box, so you can get up and running really quickly, whether on premises or in the cloud. These portals should be engaging, leveraging the social fabric. They should be intelligent, leveraging the new Office Graph. They should be available anywhere without writing lots of custom code on the increasing proliferation of devices, platforms, and form factors. And so we're very excited to show just one piece of the work we're doing in modernizing portals and applications. We're going to do a lot of stuff this year on it, but today we're going to show you one piece, which is a new video portal in Office 365, built on SharePoint, leveraging the Azure Media Services, leveraging Yammer and the Office Graph for this engaging, intelligent experiences. So those are the three pillars of the user experience. I am incredibly excited to bring up Julia White, who's going to show you some of the capabilities coming in Office 365 in the next 3 months. Julia.
Thanks, Jeff. Now, Jeff has talked about a lot of very exciting new experiences. I have the pleasure of getting to show them to you. I'm today going to show you our new groups experience across Office 365, our new Oslo app powered by that Office Graph, as well as social integrated experiences across, for the first time ever, show you the Office 365 video portal, and I'm also going to show you the recently released Power BI capabilities to end it off as well. Now, some of this is very early code, so you might see some glitches, but that just means it's real. So first of all, I'm going to start off here in Yammer, and in my home area of Yammer. And you see it's now just part of Office 365. It's one of my many options in my Office 365 header. And in my company newsfeed, this is how I keep up on what's happening at the organization. But the great thing about Yammer, too, is it has groups, and it has this ability to bring people together about a specific topic. So here, in my marketing campaigns group, for example, this is a thing that's most important for me. This is what I'm working on all the time right now. And you'll see I have people in my group from across the organization, not just in my team, but across the company, coming together to talk about this marketing campaign. And you see we're looking at some content, and we're having conversations about media, and that's great. But this lightweight, user-created group concept now goes beyond just Yammer, and it goes across Office 365. So now let me go over to my Outlook experience in the browser. And here you see my inbox, as you'd expect, but it's more than that now. If I select here, you see now I have those same groups right here that I just showed you in Yammer. And if I go into that conversation, there is that same conversation, again, carrying across all of my Office 365 experiences. So I have the information I need wherever I'm choosing to work. Now, while this is within Outlook, we made it look, yeah, go ahead, you can clap. Now, we made it purposely look a little different than my inbox, right? It's not the normal flow. So now I have my newsfeed here, and to reply, I just reply at the bottom, just like a traditional newsfeed experience, a social conversation. To start a new conversation, I just click up at the top and do it right there. So we purposely made it feel a little different so the user understands when they're in a personal inbox versus when they're in this group that's open and discoverable and having this conversation. Now, every group also has a calendar, so let me open my calendar as well. And you can see here I have a few group meetings as well as my personal calendar. Now, let me actually hide my personal calendar so you can just see my group meetings. Now, let's say this group is really important. I never want to miss a meeting. All I have to do is select it, and I could just simply add it to my calendar. And now that meeting is actually copied into my calendar, so I have all the information. And I get to choose that this is important to me as a user, and I get to promote it into my personal experience. So let me go back to my inbox again in that marketing campaign aspect. Now, a key aspect of groups is they're open and discoverable by default, so people can find them and figure out different things and different connections they should be making to begin working like that network. So, for example, I'm in my marketing campaigns group, and if I go and I look at the different details, I can see which members are in this group. And I see that Bill Bear here is in this group. Now, Bill and I work together a lot, not just on marketing campaigns, but on a lot of things. So, you know, I want to know what groups Bill's in. So all I have to do is choose Bill, and I can select his groups. And there I can see all of the groups that Bill's in as well. And I can browse through and see if anything's interesting. Because again, Bill and I work a lot together, so if it's interesting to him, it's probably relevant to me. So this one looks good. I can just click in, and I can actually get a preview of the conversation as well. And it looks like, in fact, this is something relevant to me. So all I have to do is click right here, and I can join that group. Now, you can create public groups or private groups. In this case, it's a public group, so I can just go ahead and join. If it was a private group, I would have to get permission by the owner to join, but I could still find it and discover it openly. That's a key concept of groups. Even though I'm in my inbox experience, I have this open discoverability and this conversation. Now, groups, of course, goes across all parts of Office 365. So let me now actually navigate to my site, which is automatically created when I set up my group. And all the permissioning is handled automatically, so I don't have to worry about if everyone has the right access to the site. Of course they do. So here I'm in my site. That's right, this can claps for that. And I'm going to go ahead and open this marketing campaign PowerPoint that we're working on. And as I open it, you'll see it opens it automatically in the PowerPoint online experience. But hopefully you'll notice, too, there's that conversation. So wherever I go across Office 365, I have my content, but I also have the discussion going on around it. So I know I have a 360 view. And this, I could have opened this from my inbox. It could have been an attachment. Could have been in Yammer. It doesn't matter. This experience goes with me everywhere. So I always have my information as well as the conversation about it. Now, Bill's asking me here in this conversation about a video that he showed me and wanted to know if he could work it into this campaign. Now, I remember seeing that video, and Bill showed it to me, but I don't remember where it was. I can't remember where he shared it from. And what I'd have to do today normally is search around my company. Maybe I'd look at my OneDrive account or Bing it even if I had to. But now, thanks to the Office Graph and the new Oslo application sitting on top of it, the information is actually going to come to me rather than me having to look for the information. So now let me open the new Oslo app. So first, hopefully, the thing you see is a beautiful layout of all the information that matters most to me. This is my experience. Underlying this is the Office Graph that knows what content I'm working on, what people I'm working with, and what I'm interacting with. And it's creating a real, live experience, always up to date, about what is the most relevant information to me right now. And it actually tells me why it's relevant, too. For example, in this California marketing campaign, I see that this was modified by me. It's trending around me. That means people I'm interacting with are having a discussion about it or making changes. I've also liked it, and I've viewed it. So I know as a user, why is this relevant to me? And it's presenting this all in this beautiful experience, which, by the way, also looks great on a mobile device, which matters a lot. Now, this is my default Oslo experience that tells me what matters most, what's trending most around me. But I can also use Oslo to search on just about anything. So let me go up in this search bar here. And you see that we actually have some predefined searches we expect people to do most often. So we have presented to me, modified by me, liked by me. Let me go ahead and choose presented by me, to me. Now, this is a pretty sophisticated search, right? This is because Oslo knows the meetings I'm in, the people who I'm meeting with, and the content that was shared. And because it knows that, it can, in a single selection, bring that to me. So right here is all the information and presentations that have been presented to me. I didn't have to look for it. Doesn't matter where it is. Similarly, that's right. Just as easily, I can go and see what's shared with me. So let me select that. Again, this content sits across my organization. It's in my coworkers' OneDrive for business accounts. It's on intranet, extranet. Oslo does the work, brings it to me. I have this beautiful view of everything that's been shared with me. No longer links. I have it right here. Now, I can also use Oslo to do natural language search. So now I can just type anything I wanted. Now, I'm looking for that video that Bill talked about. So I'm just going to search on Bill. And you'll see very quickly, there's Bill. Let me select Bill. Now, when you select a person in Oslo, it actually first gives you information about that person, which makes sense. And what I have is two great views of Bill. First, on this side, I have his organizational structure. So I know his managers, peers, his directs, giving me good information about the org structure, and that's useful. But what's actually more interesting now, thanks to Oslo, is I actually get to know who's Bill working with. Who's he spending his time with? Here I see who he's working with, and in this case, who we're both working with. So now I get a reflection of not just the org structure Bill's in, but how he's actually spending his time and the relationships that are important. Now, if I go down too, I can see the information trending around Bill too. Now, everything I see here, to be really clear, this is information trending around Bill, but I can only see it if it's also been shared with me. We clearly respect all the privacy boundaries around this information. So the Office Graph and Oslo respect that. Now here, in fact, is that video I was looking for that Bill had talked about. So let me go ahead and open that video. Now you'll see, for the first time publicly, the new Office 365 video portal. So let me go ahead and close out Oslo so you can see that. Now the video portal, again, built on SharePoint Online, powered by Azure Media Services. It's a robust portal where you can customize it to consume or manage all of your video content. You can have it trending to see what's popular. You see you've created some training channels or maybe some internal training videos, marketing videos, fully customizable, again, based on that great SharePoint Online experience. And there, let me go ahead and play that video again so you can see. And as with the other content I open, you see there again, there is my conversation. Again, across Office 365, wherever my content is, I also have that conversation. Now here, Bill is asking me another question in this conversation here, and he's looking for the PowerPoint that goes with this marketing campaign we're working on. Well, it just happens to be that that PowerPoint is sitting on my OneDrive for Business account, and I need to share it with Bill because I haven't done that yet. So now I'm actually going to switch over to my iPad to show you that, because we certainly know that work is happening anywhere on all devices, and we want to make sure we empower great, great mobile experiences. So now on my iPad, I'm going to go ahead and open my OneDrive for Business app. Native application here, and I have access to all of my content out on OneDrive for Business. Very, very simple. And here's that presentation I want to share, so I'm going to go ahead and open that up. And to share, it's very simple. I just go ahead and click that. And you see I've already shared with one person. I can go ahead and share with some more. So let me go find Bill here and grab him. And got that. And I'll add him. That is that simple. So great native app experience. And we're building more and more great, rich native experiences. But I also want to show you, while I'm on the iPad, the mobile browser experience as well. So let me go ahead and open my Safari. So here I've navigated to OneDrive for Business on the browser, in my Safari browser on a tablet. And when I do that, you see a great touch-enabled mobile experience. I get all the access I need to my content. So no matter what tablet you're on, when you navigate in the browser, you know you have a good mobile touch experience. And you're going to see this kind of experience come to all of our future SharePoint site experiences as well, because we want to make sure mobile has a world-class experience everywhere. All right. Now, we've been working on this marketing campaign, right? I've got the information shared. I've got the video. I've got the deck shared. Now it's time to make a business decision. Now it's time to decide where to run this marketing campaign. And there's no better thing to use than Power BI to make some smart decisions. So I'm back in Excel now here, and I have a bunch of data about which countries I might run this marketing campaign in, and annual income, population, things that matter to where I want to target my campaign. But like most of us, looking at rows and columns is not very helpful, so I'm going to use Power BI instead to get my questions answered. So let me go to my Power BI portal. Now, I've loaded up that data set that I had, as well as all my other data. And it's in one place, so I know where to get it. And I can automatically have it refreshed, so it's always current. So I would normally have to manipulate the data, maybe build a pivot table. No more. Now, with the Power BI Q&A, it's just a natural language search that sits on top of all those data sets and literally just gives me the answers to my questions. So I want to know what's the average annual income in different countries. So I'll just start typing that. And actually, because it's actually pulling from the data sets, it suggests to me what I might want to know. So in that case, I do. And you'll see Power BI actually picks the visualization that works best, automatically produces that for me. I haven't done anything. I've just asked it one question. Now, I actually want to cross that with population, too. So let me say versus population. And again, autofills for me. I don't even have to guess. And you'll see now Power BI actually repivots it, now puts it in a chart, because that's a better visualization of this data set. Just did that for me. Now, I can see really quickly, based on the data, that while Luxembourg has a very high income per capita, it's got very low population, so maybe not my best target after all. but I can see that Germany, France, UK, good targets. But you know what? I want to get a different visualization of this. I want to really understand what's happening in each of those regions. So to do that, I'm actually going to go back to my Excel, and I'm going to use the new Power Map capability. I'm going to go ahead and start my Power Map to use put a 3D visualization on all of this data. Now, I've got a Power Map created and started, so I'm just going to pick up where I last left off. So as I open that, you'll see that it actually takes the data and it puts in this really powerful, beautiful mapping experience. And I can actually interact with it as well. So I can maybe zoom around if I want to see different views of it. I can come back, I can zoom in, I can zoom out. Really amazing. And you'll see I've put some annotations in here as well. So I can see, yes, here's the things I've learned and here's the insights I want to gather. Now, there's different kinds of visualizations, too. So I go to this one example. This is internet performance, because I want to make sure my campaign is going to where there's have high bandwidth. Now, I have a few data sets here. I have performance, and I actually have download speed. But it's not me the visualization I love the most. So I'm going to actually switch it over to a heat map, just so you can get all kinds of different views. And now I really have a sense of internet speed, as well as the spread across those cities. Now, I have been exploring this data myself, making this different annotations and capturing this. But as I've done it, I've used Power Map to actually create little videos that I'm now going to be able to play back to my coworkers. So let me play that. Now, this is something I take into my staff meeting or I take to my marketing team and explain why we've chosen the markets we have to run this campaign. Again, really powerful to both get your own insights, but to be able to share them out as well. And, of course, I can take all of this and post it back up to the new Office 365 video portal when it comes out later this year, so it's all exactly where I need it. Now, I've showed you a lot of stuff, so just to recap, we showed you the new groups experience that goes across all of Office 365 and that integrated conversation with all of my content. I showed you the new Oslo experience that's suddenly a personalized, relevant dashboard for me to manage my life and my work. I showed you the new Office 365 video portal, and of course, the new recently released Power BI capabilities. So much to offer here. Thank you.
Everything's moving to the cloud. Applications, graphics. All the information is just right there, readily available, accessible, wherever I am.
I think technology will be seamlessly integrated into everyday life.
There is no typical day in the CAD program. We are exactly a homegrown science, technology, engineering, and math program. We were STEM before STEM became popular. It is a pure exercise in project-based learning. They run the school network, the school websites, they develop applications.
The collaboration that we do with other people really builds up strong relationships between the students.
They learn at their pace. They learn from their peers. They learn from their own research to adapt, to improvise, and to expect the unexpected.
Mr. Zuli gives us a lot of freedom to do what we want to do with our work. The assignment each day is to just work on my project.
Every project that we do has to have something to do with our campus. It has to meet a real world need.
We built the hall pass system to increase manageability of students.
They built a printer map to make it easy to access a printer. They have built a student schedule program where they can actually build their next year's schedule. They are designing solutions to make something easier for the teacher, make something easier for the student.
Having experience in SharePoint is going to be useful when I apply for jobs in the future.
My experience with SharePoint has helped me create problem-solving skills.
Compared to a lot of other students who will have similar academic accomplishments, but none of this experience, I'll definitely have a leg up on them.
Students want to make a difference. They want to be part of something that leaves a legacy. Without SharePoint, we couldn't do what we do. It is absolutely the canvas that my students use to build their solutions. We'll be right back.
it's always inspiring to see the ways organizations are using our technology like that. And we're so excited to be pushing things forward with the work like the Next Generation Portals, the Social Workplace and Unified Groups, and increased Yammer integration across the suite, and of course, Oslo and the Office Graph. Somebody asked me last week while we were doing a preview of this, why Oslo? And in case folks don't know, it's because our FAST team is based out of Norway. And they remind us, in fact, quite frequently, that the Norwegians write code like they win Olympic medals. More per person than any other country in the world. So that's a lot of work that we've just showed for the user experience transformation. Next, let's talk about developers. It's time for the survey. How many developers are out there? No. There's more than that. We know it's about a third. How many developers are out there? That's better. That's about as extroverted as you'll get the developers to be. It's awesome. And we know everybody else is deeply dependent, of course, on those developers, whether they're doing work inside your company or their partners delivering solutions to you. We love developers in SharePoint and across Office. In fact, the ecosystem that you're a part of is 3.4 million developers around the world building solutions around SharePoint and Office, and we want to help you take the things to the next level. So let me first start with our missions around the development community. There's really twofold. First, we're trying to give organizations maximum agility to adapt our solutions to meet their business needs. That's a key theme in the history of SharePoint, is the flexibility, whether you build the solutions yourself or you buy them from third parties. The second part of our mission is we want to give partners the biggest opportunity in enterprise computing to build solutions and to make money. And we're taking that to the next level with the cloud. We are so excited about the momentum we've got with more and more partners coming on every day. A few months ago, we did an announcement with GoDaddy, who's betting on Office 365. A few weeks ago, we did work with DocuSign. They're here this week. SAP is here this week. And many, many other wonderful partners showcasing solutions on our platform. And we want to take that to the next level. Last SharePoint conference, we talked about the cloud application platform, REST, OData, HTML5, and so forth, to give you maximum agility and interoperability. This week, we're going to take it to the next level and share the next steps in the Office 365 platform. And that's going to come in three areas. First, we're going to show the kinds of new, engaging experiences you can build that are contextual to the work that's going on in your organization with these contextual applications. Second, we're going to talk about the robust services that these applications are built on. And third, we're going to talk about the flexibility that we're giving in tools for a broad range of developers. So let's talk about the two types of contextual applications first. First flavor or application pattern is one where you are building within the user experience of Office or SharePoint or Yammer or Exchange and so forth. You're extending our experience with the cloud application model we've done around HTML5, JavaScript, REST, the client-side object model, et cetera. You might be building a law office solution on SharePoint or a budgeting application in Excel, and we're going to make that easier and richer experience. The second type of application is where you control the UI. It's your native code, 100%, and we're really the back end providing services for you. And for that, we're also going to push forward in the investments we're making. So across these two modes, we're going to show a bunch of stuff this week on the contextual experiences extending our UI. We're going to show new extensibility models for Compose apps in Outlook and content apps in PowerPoint. And on the custom user experience side, we're going to show not only work we've done on Windows with new Windows 8 libraries, but today we are announcing a new open source SDK for Android, so you can build native Android applications easily using the Office 365 and SharePoint services. So, yeah. Very excited about that, and it's going to be open sourced on GitHub, so if people want to see the code and contribute to it and extend it to it, we're excited about that. So that's the contextual apps. Those are built on a foundation of robust services. And we're going to increase the set of APIs we provide as part of the cloud application model. And we're going to continue to do work so that you can use this both on-premises and in the cloud in SharePoint Online. First thing we're going to do is expand the surface area of what you can do in SharePoint Online. There's some places where the APIs are richer on-premises. We're going to bring new APIs to the cloud, like self-service site collection provisioning and work we're doing around improving the document APIs and workflow and schema access. But we're also going to take this model that we've gotten good feedback on, this RESTful API, and extend it across the suite. So there'll be new APIs you'll hear about today that are RESTful for people, for documents, for files, for calendars, in a simplified namespace across Office and Exchange and SharePoint, really, again, to simplifying programming to our robust set of services. And we're going to extend that with new services from Microsoft. Dynamics team also, coincidentally, has their event this week, and we really want to make it easy for people to build new applications bridging the Office 365 services, the SharePoint services, and the Dynamics services in both ERP and CRM. Again, on-premises or in the cloud. So those are the Microsoft services. The other two types of services are ones that third parties would provide. Again, folks like DocuSign or SAP. We're going to do work with all of them to make sure the interoperability is great through technologies like OData and OAuth to make it possible to build these composite applications connecting them. And the last one, the last category, would be custom services you build. Again, we have an open platform. You can do that anywhere you want, on-premises, in the cloud. We're going to make sure that we really maximize your productivity using the Azure services, storage, compute, workflow, media, as you saw, and much more. So all three types of services, Microsoft services, partner services, and custom services, are core to these new modern applications. Last area of the developer spectrum is tools. And we're going to give you a wide range of approaches. We know from past SharePoint conferences, from talking to you in sessions and at the events and SharePoint Saturdays and so forth, there is just a huge diversity in the things you do on SharePoint. It's sometimes kind of stunning, maybe a little frightening some days. And it may range from end users customizing SharePoint in 5 minutes, making a custom list and form, all the way to people doing very sophisticated apps where they might write a million lines of code with lots of developers. And we want to support the full spectrum. We're going to make it easier for end users to customize SharePoint and add apps to SharePoint from their corporate catalog or from the Office Marketplace. We're going to let end users with no code build new cloud applications. One of the things that we're going to focus on this week that not many people have noticed, that just went out of preview not that long ago, is Access as part of Office 365. Access is the easiest way of anything in the industry to build a cloud-based application because it sits on the foundation of SharePoint and SQL Azure, and it's a huge area of focus for us. That was a hint, by the way. And the third area for us is the professional developer. We love the professional developer. We're going to keep addressing your feedback. You've been very clear you want a choice of languages. Not just .NET and C#, but C and Java and Ruby and PHP and so forth. But when you're in the Microsoft environment building these apps, we're going to make you more productive than ever. Perhaps the biggest applause at the last SharePoint conference was the work we did in Visual Studio. We're taking that to the next level with new templates, new IntelliSense support, new debugging support, new deployment support. So really a broad range of things we're doing for developers. With that, I'd like to introduce Arpan Shah, who's going to show you some of the work we're doing for developers coming in the next few months. Arpan.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Okay. So I'm really excited to be here today. As Jeff mentioned, we're investing significantly in the Office 365 platform so you can build amazing contextual applications wherever your users are. So whether your users are in Office, across the web, on the PC, and of course, mobile devices. And instead of showing you code on stage, so instead of seeing me do Visual Studio coding, what I thought I'd do is show you how to take a solution and extend it so you can go back and reimagine what's possible for your own existing applications. So let's get started. So what you see here is a very common, simple SharePoint solution. I'm sure each and every single customer here does this, where we're using a custom SharePoint list with custom metadata and custom workflow to track a process. So in this particular case, I'm looking at marketing campaigns, I'm looking at who's approved it, how the progress is, how we're tracking it. And while this solution is great, it requires my users to know the URL, they have to come here, they have to fill out this information. So what I want to do is extend this and make it a lot more contextual. Let's give people a way to initiate an Outlook, and let's give people a way to approve on mobile devices. So here I'm in Outlook. Like many of you, I spend hours a day in Outlook, and I have an email from Bill. And Bill's asking me to launch a new SharePoint developer campaign. So I'm going to go ahead and respond and say I'm on it. And in the past, to initiate this campaign, I would have to go again back to that custom list, go enter things, change things. But now, with the new Compose apps that Jeff just talked about, which is right here, I can go ahead, select an application right in context. So I have my application right side by side, so I don't have to leave email. Isn't that great? Super. So as a developer, this is just HTML5, and I've integrated information with the backend with Office 365 services. I'm just going to go fill this information in, SharePoint developers, SPC rocks. And the developer's also done something for me, which is listed the approvers for this process. And what's really nice here is that there's integration with the People API, the new Office 365 People API, to actually go grab the VPs from the organization, grab the directors from the organization, and show them right in this application. The other thing the developer has done, which is really nice, is he's gone ahead and seen who's out of office using the new Office 365 calendar API. So if I take a look over here in my calendar, you can see that Ali shared her calendar with me, and you can see she's out on vacation. So in my application, it shows up, and I'm going to go ahead and choose Dorina as my VP, and I'll choose Alex since Ali's off. The last thing I can go do is upload a document. And I've already put together a proposal. And when I submit, what it's going to do is actually make a call back to SharePoint and then kick off a process to send out the approvals. So before I click submit, I'm actually going to switch over to the Windows phone, which is Alex's device. And now I'll go ahead and click submit. And what you'll see is Alex shortly will get a notification coming for Azure Notification Services. There you have it, right there. Again, all natively built in. And now Alex can go ahead into his native Windows Phone app, which was built quickly and which is simple, and is able to take that SharePoint list data all using REST APIs. So if you take a look over here, I can quickly take a glance at the pending requests. There's SharePoint developers right here. And again, very, very simple, all using REST, and I can go ahead and approve. And there you have it. Now, I've gone and approved it. It's gone back to the SharePoint list, changed the status, and now a notification is being sent to Dorina on her mobile device, which I'll switch over to the Android here. And Dorina uses an Android device on the go. So you'll see at the top left that she has a notification, again, natively built into the Android experience. And right from there, I can go ahead and launch a custom Android app. And like Jeff said, this was built using the new Android SDK for Office 365, open source, available on GitHub. And you can see the campaign here. And again, with one click, I can go ahead and approve it. And like Jeff mentioned before, what it's going to do now is actually provision a SharePoint site. Again, this was feedback we got from developers. We've been listening. We've been bridging a lot of those API gaps and making a ton of progress. Now, if I scroll over here, you'll see the new SharePoint developer site that got provisioned. So when we click onto this, you see the nice SharePoint site, and you see that document that I uploaded before. Again, using the new Office 365 file API, I was able to go ahead, provision, and upload this document. So there you have it. Just in the last few minutes, I showed you the new Compose app feature. I showed you the new Office 365 file and people APIs. I showed you a beautiful Oslo-inspired custom Android app developed using the new Android SDK for Office 365. And you saw a more expanded set of APIs, including site provisioning and some of the file actions there. So I encourage all of you, when you get a chance, to check out the preview APIs. And go, good luck with building great solutions. Thank you.
The shift in our business is actually the shift of the world of everybody. We are going faster and faster, moving to mobile.
We, like everybody, struggle with communicating to people that are on the front lines in retail or in manufacturing. And using SharePoint Online is the first step in our journey to enabling collaboration amongst all of them.
Needs to change to an IT department that offered strategy, offered innovation, offered the ability to change. The implementation of Office 365 across Aston Martin was incredibly well received and actually was one of the major strategic changes that we made.
We're helping team members sell and serve with personality because they are more engaged, more connected, and better informed.
We don't think about storage, capacity planning, external access, or downtime. But now with Office 365, we're able to provide the security and governance to keep our data safe.
For the first time, we are able to give access to everybody within Accor because everything will be in the cloud.
Our goals are to provide compelling content for our viewers. Our traditional advertisers are going through tremendous transformations, just as we're going through a transformation. So we have to be able to take advantage of resources that we have anywhere.
As part of the coverage for the Sochi Olympics, the news journalists within Gannett all moved to Office 365, giving them better tools. We also are using SharePoint Online to truly track information that's important for what we're doing over there in Sochi.
All organizations worry about security, especially when you're making a move into the cloud. The Office 365 and SharePoint Online combination met both our collaboration needs and our security needs.
Our critical data needs to be secure, it needs to be redundant. You end up spending a lot more of your IT budget managing operations than solutions. Office 365 for education, OneDrive for business, all pointed in that direction.
We see the SharePoint, Yammer, Office 365 tool suite as a way to really tie together our employees across the company.
It's going to drive innovation across the company, and that in turn is going to help drive sales.
We have implemented SharePoint and Office 365 to be able to be prepared for the future, to make sure that you have the right tool to be agile and to adapt.
It's really wonderful to see so many organizations of all shapes, sizes, and types doing mission critical work in the cloud with Office 365. You know, it's really gratifying, and we got a lot of feedback over the years in doing that. The next section we're going to talk about is working with IT professionals so you can manage your services with confidence. We know you have a challenging job to secure your information, to deliver reliable services to your demanding employees, to keep up with the pace of business, to address security laws and regulations. And we want to partner with you. We're very focused on that. If you think about the work we've done in the cloud over the last few years, it just builds on the two decades of focus Microsoft's had as an enterprise computing vendor. And so we're going to talk about three areas for IT professionals where we're investing. First, the trusted platform. Second, the work we're doing on comprehensive controls to give you new insights and ability to manage your information. And then lastly, the work we're doing on a cloud on-ramp. Let's start with the platform. Our commitment to you is to deliver you a rock-solid foundation so that you can protect your information, so you can empower your employees. And we're committed to doing that, whether you run on-premises or the cloud. And I know we've been bold this morning, really emphasizing the cloud. And that is where we think we can deliver you the best value, both for end users and IT. But we also want to reiterate, we are committed to new server releases. We will do a new version of SharePoint, a new version of Exchange Server in 2015. And those are going to be great, solid releases. But as I think you can tell this morning, I think we can do a better job for you in the cloud. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And maybe I'll start with some fun facts around scalability metrics. 250,000 requests per second in Office 365, 400,000 cores in about 20 data centers around the world, 400 petabytes of storage, and just if you can get your head around the change rate on that, we're deploying about 10 to 20% new storage each month as Office 365 hockey sticks. SharePoint last month, in the month of February, had about a 20% growth in 1 month of storage consumed in the cloud with SharePoint Online. But the thing that I'm most proud of, sort of going back to thinking about the old model we had, which was delivering you new capabilities every 2 years or so, is our increased velocity doing that with increased reliability. We are now deploying SharePoint Online bits every single week to all these servers around the world, tens of thousands of servers, for hundreds of thousands of organizations with tens of millions of users. And last quarter, we did that weekly update process with 99.98% availability, which is good, if not better, than anybody else in the industry. And of course, all the learnings that we get from that will factor in into the server product as well. We know beyond this base reliability level that security and privacy and compliance is paramount. And so we've made a huge investment in here. You know, if you sort of looked at the work that was buzzing around the hallways in the last 5 years in the SharePoint team, a lot of it would be under the water, if you will. You know, partnering on massive investments in billions of dollars at data centers, updating the architecture of SharePoint and Exchange for massive multi-tenancy around the world, increasing our operations investments and the automation around them such that no Microsoft employee ever can see your data and that data is isolated. Intelligent monitoring so that we are using those same machine learning algorithms that we use to deliver end user features, we use them to run our service in a proactive way. And we're going to continue investing in this new infrastructure. And one of the things you'll hear about in the sessions this week is this new encrypted elastic storage capability we're introducing in SharePoint Online. Massive scale on it. I won't steal the guys' thunder. They were really clear with me. I couldn't take their slides and so forth. But I did want to highlight two things from this new Azure-based storage that sits below SharePoint Online that folks who have worked with SharePoint for a while will be, I think, excited about. 1 terabyte site collections. And, of course, you have to pay incrementally above the quota and so forth. In a tenancy, infinite scale. So, really stressing that this is your data. You own it. We're architecting so we can't see it. We don't commingle it. We don't use it for any other purposes than delivering the service for you. And we know in order to trust that, you need certifications. And we've invested a huge amount of work here. We're leading the industry in certifications like HIPAA, in EU model clauses, in FISMA, in ISO, in CGIS. The CGIS standard is one that's used by a lot of states, such that the largest, most sophisticated organizations in the world, like the state of Texas, like the state of California, are betting on Office 365 because of these certifications of our security and compliance processes. But beyond this trusted platform, we want to give you more control. We want life to be better in the cloud for IT professionals. Information protection means new tools to manage things, new insights on what's going on. And I'd really like to emphasize, these are features every bit as much as the end user and developer features. And we're going to introduce them every week. There'll be new capabilities in the cloud and SharePoint Online and Office 365 to make life of an IT professional better. We've updated rights management. We recently introduced multi-factor authentication. We're improving e-discovery and legal holds. We've got new work coming for SharePoint in data loss prevention and mobile device management, and more and more and more. Increased reporting and compliance portal capabilities. Whole team with hundreds of people doing new features, many in the cloud first, subset on-premises second, to make life for IT professionals better. So let me stop there and show you a taste of some of the IT features and bring up Michal Gidioni. Michal.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff talked about security, privacy, and compliance. In the next few minutes, I'd like to cover two of these areas. First, I'll demo some of the new compliance capabilities coming to SharePoint Online and to Office 365. Then I'll demonstrate the new multi-factor authentication in Office 365. Let's start with compliance and look at the new Unified Compliance Center. Today, you have your compliance capabilities in different locations across SharePoint, Exchange, and Link. We're creating one place for a company to manage all of their compliance needs, whether it's to access history on a document, to find and preserve content, or manage sensitive data in your organization. Let's say I'm a compliance officer, and I heard in the news today about a company that had to pay damages because they were exposing UK passport numbers. I get nervous about this, and I want to make sure that my company is not doing that same mistake. So let's find out if we need to worry about how people are using passport numbers in our organization. From the new Unified Compliance Portal, as an authorized person, I have a simple way to access all the relevant data. And it's so simple, I don't even need to bug IT. I go here, and I look at this search query. I have here a new type of search that allows me to look for a sensitive information based on built-in classifications, an important part of data loss prevention. In this case, I'm going to look for UK passport numbers. I can also further refine my search based on date, based on the people involved, and other search criteria. I can search the data right where it lives, in place. So I'm going to click here, search. And indeed, I see that there are few documents with UK passport numbers. That's really good to know. I can now choose to export this document. I can delete or move the data. But what I really want to know is who actually viewed this data. So let's go back to the Compliance Center and check what audit settings I have on. Fortunately, SharePoint Online now has a view auditing option, which I've got turned on. So that's great. I'm going to go now back, and directly from the Compliance Center, I'm going to be able to go to the auditing report. I'm going to be able to generate that report. And I get a report and see exactly who viewed that data. I'm relieved that the viewers are all part of the HR international team, and so we're not going to get in trouble. That's great. I showed you how I was able to search and find sensitive documents using the new data loss prevention search capabilities, and then get a full report of the users who viewed it from a single place across all the relevant data in Office 365. Yes. I gave you a small taste of what is possible with our unified compliance, and there is so much power here for you to leverage. Now I'm going to switch gears and talk about a recent update to our IT controls. We've recently introduced multi-factor authentication in Office 365 to increase the security of user sign-ins. This gives you another layer of security. You can now require users to authenticate through their phones in addition to using passwords. Let me show you how it works. I'm going to go here to the admin center, and I'm going to set up multi-factor authentication. I have full control and can turn this on for all my users or for a selected set of users that need that additional security. For example, that compliance officer from before. So I'm going to go here, and I'm going to turn it on for Alex Darrow, enable multi-factor auth. And now, after I've done this, when Alex goes and tries to access SharePoint from a browser, in addition to his password, he's going to be prompted for a second-factor authentication. What I showed you works for users in Office 365, and it also works for federated identities in hybrid deployments. It gives admins and users an additional level of security to ensure data is safe. We know that compliance and security are extremely important, and we want to make sure that we give you the right tools to manage with confidence. Thank you.
Thanks, Michal. All right, last we want to talk about cloud on-ramps. We've stressed the benefit of the cloud to improve user, developer, and IT professional experiences. And we're really focused on making sure you have a path to embracing these technologies. We are very committed to working closely with you. You know, I don't know if everybody realizes this, but it's been 8 years since we first released SharePoint Online. It's been 3 years since we first relaunched Office 365, including the newly modernized SharePoint Online. So we now, at this point, have lots of experience with hundreds of thousands of organizations of all sizes helping them move to the cloud. Whether it's the product, or the documentation, or the tools, or the fantastic works our partners have been doing, we think you can get up and running in the cloud in a matter of weeks rather than months. But we want to be incredibly flexible. We want to give you new hybrid options. We want to make it possible to get deployed with a set of services. So I'm not sure if everybody here has gone and installed Service Pack 1 of SharePoint 2013 that came out last week. Hopefully somebody has. But you may have noticed, yes, very good. Then if you dug into the admin UI, you might have known a switch that supports hybrid scenarios in the cloud to get started with social and document sharing, that you can go into the user experience and say, hey, I'd like my social to be powered by Yammer in the cloud, or I'd like personal document storage to be done by OneDrive for Business in the cloud. So you don't have to move all of SharePoint overnight to the cloud. You can get started with these two workloads in a hybrid way. So we wanted to go one step farther in partnering with you to get to the cloud. So today, we're introducing a new OneDrive for Business standalone offer. This allows you to just buy OneDrive for Business, use just that aspect of Office 365, and in that, you'll get the hybrid configuration, of course, or you can use it standalone, and you'll get it built on this amazing foundation that we've talked about in the cloud platform that we provide. You'll also get, of course, rich document synchronization sharing support. You'll get the only cloud document sharing service with Office built in on Windows devices, on the Mac, on various phones, on the browser. You'll be able to get to your Office documents anywhere with the full fidelity Office client. And to go one step further, we're offering incredibly attractive promotional pricing to make this a great deal and remove any reason for looking at any other cloud document storage solution. This is a really great offer, 25 gigabytes for each user in your organization, native Office experience, robust certified foundation, and an attractive value. So really excited about OneDrive for Business. And the team is actively watching the monitors to see the storage spike, just so they know how many servers to order next month. So let me close. As always, we are really excited to share our roadmap and get your feedback. To be frank, we've only shared a small portion of what's new today. So you'll have to go to the breakout sessions and do that, because I know people are saying, hey, he didn't say when this is coming or what this is, and we'll cover that in the breakout sessions. But we've got much more coming through the cloud over the next several months. It's not all going to ship at the same time. One of the things I know people are saying is, when's this Oslo thing going to ship, or this group things, or the video thing, or the new APIs? Because we're working in the cloud, these are loosely coupled, and they will show up at different times. And we're going to do our best to keep you posted on the roadmap, but there's not one magic date where all the new features show up in the cloud. These things will come over the coming months. Again, we're committed to delivering a subset of these capabilities in a really super high-quality server release in 2015 that will be great standalone and supporting hybrid scenarios. So we're really excited about getting your feedback on all that. So let me wrap with thanking everybody again for coming. Have a fantastic time this week. Look forward to seeing many of you. Thanks again. And let me bring back Jared. Thank you.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, Jeff. I hope you guys are as jazzed about these new innovations as we are. And as Jeff said, this is just the beginning. Think about it. You'll be able to transform your work with Groups, Oslo, and the Video Portal, build amazing solutions with this new API set and a mobile SDK, and then manage with confidence with a compliance portal, data loss prevention, our multi-factor authentication, and these cloud on-ramps. And let me be clear about file, sync, and share. We are committed to being a leader in this space. And no matter who tells you about what box to put your files in, we want you to recognize that SharePoint is the best place to manage your content, and OneDrive for Business is the service and the app that will deliver everything you need for your end users and for your business. Now, as President Bill Clinton said, technology truly is transforming the world. Hopefully, as you saw from Jeff, together we have this awesome, awesome opportunity to change the way people work. As always, we have a great week ahead of us with opportunities to learn more, to meet the people behind the products, and to network as a community. And we encourage you, as you attend the rest of the conference, to use that SPC14 hashtag to tell us all about it. This evening, we'll have an opportunity to meet at Club SPC from 5 to 7 tonight to network, reconnect, and meet. I hope to meet many of you there. Then on Tuesday, start your engines, because we'll be taking over the Las Vegas Speedway, and you'll have an opportunity to ride in the pace cars around the track. Finally, back by popular demand on Wednesday, we'll have our Ask the Experts, where you can meet the folks who have created the great things that you've seen here and that have a lot in their back pockets. So on behalf of the entire team, I want to thank you for joining our keynote session this morning, and I look forward to seeing you in the sessions and out and about on the show floor. Thank you.